Welcome to Legends from the Fireside. Standing upon the shoulders of giants in this genre, Legends from the Fireside is a hybrid storytelling RPG podcast set within worlds of sword and sorcery. In our tales, the dice tell the fates of those worlds, for good or for ill. No character is sacred. Survival is not guaranteed. As storyteller and game master, I craft the narrative from these dice rolls and create quests from this chaos, all without knowing what could happen. Listener discretion is advised, as we may explore dark corners of this genre. But come now, for adventure awaits. Listen in to the Legends from the Fireside. Welcome back to Legends from the Fireside. In the last episode of the show, our party arrive at Castle Roseholm with a rather unwelcoming greeting from the guards who refuse them entry. We learn a bit more of the dwarven intruders and the pain that they've caused to the good residents of Castle Roseholm. We find out a bit more of the original explorers who delve down into the halls of Shaladir, as well as the demonic entity calling those ruins its home. Chapter 22, Part 1, Day 61, Morning. Party status: Tariad, 11 of 11 hit points. Belgen, 8 of 8 hit points. Kellum, 8 of 8 hit points. Thedor, 10 of 10 hit points. Sanjean, 4 of 4 hit points. Kennard, 2 out of 2 hit points. Spells prepared. Tariad has prepared Light. And Cure Light Wounds. Belgen has prepared Phantasmal Force. And Chromatic Orb. Seeing the guards struggling to maintain their balance at the gate, and noticing how few guards seem to be watching from the lookout points, Kellum grabbed Tariad by the shoulder, and without hesitation began to hurry to the bridge. As they approached, he slowed his movement, and in a hushed voice he said to Tariad,
"I can't be certain, but something seems wrong with the guards. Maybe they're sick, or..."
Suddenly, one of the men at the gate stumbled over and began to retch, heaving the contents of his stomach upon the side of the castle wall. Tariad completed Kellum's thought by saying,
"Maybe they are a bit hungover."
The two nodded quickly to each other and approached the same guards they had seen the previous day. One of the two shouted out,
"Hold! You stand before Castle Roseholm. What do you want?"
Kellum did not waste a moment as he blurted out,
"We're hoping to enter and spend some coin. We have traveled far and are in need of supplies and food."
I'll roll now for a reaction check, and I'll impose a minus one on this roll since the guards likely recall telling these travelers they weren't welcome before. I got a 10. Minus one means a 9 in total. Now we're getting somewhere. The guards looked at one another for a glance before the guard waved them through, saying,
All right, just don't cause any trouble."
Kellum began walking through the gate when Tariad turned back and waved his party to come and follow them in. As the company came quickly to catch up with these two, they saw before them a very interesting scene. Within the castle grounds were a series of tables, adorned with tipped-over tankards, half-eaten food, bent and broken plates and cutlery, and an unnerving amount of dwarves and humans sleeping upon the ground. It would seem that whatever sort of revelry they had missed out on last night was truly remarkable. Before the party had enough time to take in the sights and the smells, Kellum was already on his way to the stables, beside what appeared to be a tavern, aptly named the Rose's Thorn. As they finished tying off their mounts, they quietly conversed about their next plan. As they considered their chances of meeting with the Castellan, they knew they would need to try and force a meeting with him in some way. With that in mind, I will roll a reaction check to see if the party asking the guards manages to work out for them. Let's suggest Kellum asks one of the guards if the Castellan is currently in his quarters. I'll roll on the Oracle to see if the random guard might know that information. I got a 3, which means yes and. So let's say that the guard they encounter is also nursing a hangover, and when the party asks him, not only does he know, but he offhandedly tells them exactly where in the keep his office is. This all seems a bit too easy for the party to get this leg up on their entry into this occupied castle. Let's consult the Oracle once more and ask the question, do the dwarves take note of these travelers? I got a 5. Interesting. The dice are giving the party a break here, since the answer no means our party are not going to be bothered by the dwarves. Perhaps they too are nursing hangovers, or maybe they're simply too comfortable in their new home to be bothered with these traveling strangers. Considering the chances of being caught and possibly kicked out of the castle, the party agree to send Kellum and Terriad alone to speak with the Castellan. The rest of the party will wait for them within the tavern. As Belgan, Thedor, Sanjean, and Kennard enter the Rose's Thorn, the man behind the bar warns them that they're out of food and drink for the time being. The best he can offer them is some hard bread and cheese that he's tucked away. The party recognize the man's stressed demeanor and thank him for the offer, but decline the food. Belgan will leave behind 5 gold pieces on the counter when he leaves the tavern later on, after witnessing firsthand the way that the dwarves have disturbed what seems to have originally been a rather humble and welcoming settlement. Kellum and Terriad cross the courtyard of the inner sanctum of the castle, walking through lines of tables and stepping over sleeping and unconscious men, keeping their heads low and trying to look as inconspicuous as possible. As they walked to the keep, they knew to enter from the main double doors. Though they saw no guards at the doors, they were still wary of being questioned. As they cautiously approached, they saw within the main hall before them a rather unfortunate scene. It seems a few of the more inebriated partygoers had found a way to reach a metal chandelier in the center of this hall. While no one was up there now, a dented chandelier on the floor before them, being repaired by a few of the guards, was more than enough evidence of these hijinks. Kellum quickly pointed to the side door by the entrance, and the two made for the stairs leading to the Castellan's quarters and meeting room. As they swooped up the stairs, they arrived at the landing before the rather regal-looking wooden door. The door itself was marked with the symbol of Castle Roseholm, a simple rose over a silver shield. As Kellum approached, he reached for the doorknob and held his hand over it as if considering his decision. Slowly, he pulled his hand back and knocked at the door 3 times. A voice beckoned from behind the door.
Please, enter.
As the two gently opened the door and walked in, they saw before them an older-looking man, wearing a simple and yet regal-looking doublet. The man looked up to them with piercing eyes, and his puzzled expression seemed to transition from one question to another, as the Castellan Marsil Omil finally asked, "Who are you, and what is your business here?" I will roll a reaction to see if the party will be welcomed by the Castellan or not. I can imagine the Castellan being less than happy to meet with strangers on the day following such a raucous and chaotic celebration. I got a 7, but I'm going to subtract another 1, and that gives the party a 6. Clearly, the Castellan is not welcoming, but he seems still intrigued by these travelers. Kellum walks forward with Teriad in tow and states confidently,
"My name is Kellum, and this is my traveling companion Teriad. We have come to your castle seeking information of the land. We have come here to seek out rumored ruins near your castle, and we need guidance in finding them. I assure you that our intentions are pure, and though we are not at liberty to discuss what we are seeking within these ruins, we can assure you that we are allies of the citizens of this land."
As Kellum turned his gaze to the window of the chamber overlooking the courtyard where the celebration took place, he said,
"I think it is safe to say you need people you can trust in these times. Having one man you can truly trust is at times worth more than an entire legion of swordsmen."
As the Castellan considered this very direct and unexpected response, I'll roll another reaction. I got a 10, minus 1, so a 9. The Castellan nodded in agreement with Kellum's statement, and he replied,
"What you say is certainly true, Kellum. My people, and the people of Solon Hill, have been plagued with the undead, and our new partners within the castle have been less than hospitable."
With a sigh, the man continued,
"I do know of these ruins, and I cannot say I know for certain their whereabouts. From what I have heard, the ruins are where these undead may be coming from. There are records within the annals of this castle suggesting meetings with the Entendelel, or at least an elf or two, when this castle was first constructed. Evidently, they had traveled to the ruins and warned us of entering the place, and my predecessors have done well to heed the warnings. I suppose the only creatures foolish enough to know of the location of the ruins would likely be the goblins or orcs that live within the Beveren Wood. Surely they may know something we do not, but I find it hard to believe you could get much information out of them, especially if that's where they're currently living."
Kellum and Teriad took in this information, but then Teriad asked, after a moment of silence,
"Castellan Olmil, do you know of the Ravenous Maw?"
I will roll on the Oracle to see if the Castellan Olmil does know of the Ravenous Maw. I got 3. So, yes, he does know of them. And I suppose it would make sense that maybe he has been invited to join their ranks. Something that I'm sure has crossed his mind considering the dire straits he is currently in. As the Castellan hides his immediate reaction, he states plainly,
"I do not know what you are referring to, but I am assuming this has something to do with you traveling to the..."
Suddenly, the door opens again, without warning. And before them stood a particularly annoyed-looking Gilmac Bronzebuckle, leader of the dwarves within Roseholm. The Castellan stood from his seat and greeted the dwarf with a nod. Gilmac looked away from the Castellan and looked both in Kellum and Teriad up and down for just a moment, sizing them up and looking at their weapons and gear. His eyes lingered on the enchanted elvish spear which Kellum carried on his back.
"Might I have a word with you, Olmil?"
Gilmac said in a very sinister tone, not wanting to arouse any ire from the dwarf, who clearly held much sway within the castle. They hurried past the dwarf, who made no effort at all to move out of their way. As the door closed behind them, Gilmac had his iron gaze fall upon the Castellan.
"Who are they?"
Gilmac asked. The Castellan cleared his throat before saying,
pair of travelers from outside the Beveren Wood. They were asking about some ruins nearby. I didn't tell them anything at all. Suddenly, Olmil began to run his mind through each thing he had said, as he considered what Gilmak may have overheard, and how much trouble he could be in, depending on what he had said. The tall one was Kellum. His accomplice was Teriad, the Castellan blurted out in order to silence his own thoughts. The dwarf made a strange and contorted face for a moment, as if considering the strangers may throw an unforeseen twist into his plans here. Then, he spoke to the Castellan with a threatening smile.
I would hope that you spoke only kind words of our... what did you call it? Partnership? In any case, I will be sure that a few of my men tail your guests, and maybe see what they're up to in our lands.
As he turned and walked away, Teriad and Kellum were already regrouping with their party within the tavern and hurrying to leave Castle Roseholm in search of information on the local orcs and goblins, assuming them to be their only viable lead. Dramatis Personae, Ero Salisbaum. Valric, the vizier of Lord Kilroth, walked briskly down the marble hall to the meeting room where the Lord's guests were waiting. As he grasped the door handle and swung the door open, he saw seated before him in this comfortable chamber a trio of adventurers: a sellsword wearing scale mail, a peculiar half-elven woman, and an elderly man reputed to be a mage of some caliber. Though the three were looking rather impatient with having to wait here for nearly an hour, Valric could certainly tell that the elderly man known as Salisbaum had his accomplices well in line. In a different setting, these three would have been the thing of nightmares to anyone with gold in their pocket. But the guards had taken the weapons of each of the mercenaries, including the strange spellbook that the mage Salisbaum had demanded to hold on to. Luckily, these three did not put up too much of an argument when instructed to disarm, though, in a sense, this scared the vizier more than anything else. Lord Kailroth wanted to speak with them about some rumors he had heard of this trio, and they were more than willing to oblige. As the trio stood up to follow Valric, he held up his hand to dismiss the warrior and the half-elf. Though they began to protest, Salisbaum turned his head slightly to his companions and issued a cold and shrill command to them.
You will wait here for me. I will return soon, and I expect no trouble from either of you.
Both Felia and Welgar sat down after being given this instruction, and Salisbaum then turned again to face Valric, with a slight smile on his face.
Come now, we must not keep the Lord waiting,
said Salisbaum as he pointed forward down the hall. As the two men walked the corridor, reaching a compact, spiraling stairwell, neither said a word. Climbing to about the midpoint of the spiraling stairwell, the men approached a reinforced wooden door. This door had beside it a pair of swordsmen flanking either side of the doorway. The vizier told them to step aside, and both did as instructed. As Valric pushed the door open, the Lord Adro Kailroth himself stood waiting, staring out the window before turning back to face his guest. The room was comfortable, small but cozy, with a group of four leather-bound chairs placed evenly around a beautifully detailed wooden table adorned with crimson silken tablecloths, each complete with golden trim. These tablecloths were decorated with depictions of knights jousting and battling monsters of legend, and it seemed likely that these cloths were worth thousands of gold pieces. As he continued looking around the room and seeing the silver candelabra, the leather-bound tomes, the painting between the windows. It was clear to Salazbaum that this potential new patron would be able to afford his lifestyle nicely. Valric broke the silence by stating in the formal way he had done so many times before,
"Lord Kaelroth, your guest, Ero Salazbaum, has arrived."
Kaelroth turned to face the mage with a very neutral expression. He gestured then gently for the seat at the table and said, "Please, Salazbaum, take a seat. We have much to discuss." As Salazbaum entered and took his seat, the Lord gave him a nod and a glare to Valric. As Valric closed the door, the guards left their post, leaving the mage and the Lord alone in total seclusion. As the Lord sat down, he sighed for a moment. The two looked at each other silently, as if evaluating the man they saw across from each other.
"I'm sure you know why it is that I have summoned you here, Salazbaum,"
the Lord said dryly. As Salazbaum merely stared back without any agreement or confirmation, the Lord continued,
"And I'm sure you know that I would not have requested your help in any other situation."
Salazbaum readjusted his posture for a moment and asked plainly,
"I feel rather wounded that you would say such a thing. Does my reputation precede me?"
As Kaelroth looks back at the mildly amused mage before him, he took a moment to gather himself. This smug man before him was just that. He was like any other cutthroat who would have thought that he had had the upper hand. The Lord sidestepped the comment and said,
"There are certain individuals operating within my own city. Individuals that you yourself may know of, operating as a collective to undermine my authority. The only reason why I have your name in association with any of this is that one of my couriers had mentioned a group of three people who were keeping their eyes on the estate of one of these individuals."
After taking a few moments to wait for any sort of response from Salazbaum, the old man finally spoke up.
"I will not lie to you. I have no reason to do so. I was indeed one of the three who stayed vigilant, watching over that estate. My current need for information of the same individuals you speak is of my own personal business, however."
The hard and cold glare of the Lord fell upon Salazbaum, but he did not seem moved by this. Salazbaum continued,
"Know this, Adro. Our enemy here is the same. While I may not be the sort of ally you desire in this current state, I am the only person you can truly trust. In times such as these, trust is worth more than any sum or payment. Which brings me to the next matter of business."
Before Salazbaum could finish, Kaelroth interrupted and asked bluntly,
"I need to know first. Christo Orswell and Jacquard Greatmast, two of my closest friends within the Merchants Guild, are they..."
Salazbaum began slowly nodding to confirm the Lord's suspicions before he could even finish the statement. A visibly wounded Kaelroth looked past Salazbaum now and took a moment to consider the implications of this information. He had shared so many of his personal thoughts and taken so much advice from these men in confidence. And now, he was left to wonder how long he had been feeding the ravenous maw the information that they needed in order to continue their entrenchment into his city. Suddenly, Kaelroth looked back into Salazbaum's eyes and asked,
"How much do you need?"
Salazbaum folded his hands on the table slowly as he shifted his position forward to get closer to the Lord.
I had a different form of payment in mind.
Valrick stood patiently waiting at the bottom of the stairwell for the meeting to end. He and the two guards kept an ear open for any sort of trouble that might occur in the private meeting chamber, though nothing had alarmed them at this point. The sound of footsteps on the stone stairs of the spiraling staircase got their attention, and the three of the Lord's men ran to meet the Lord and Salazbaum as they descended. Salazbaum continued down the hall with a certain smug look on his face as the guards led him into his companions, while the Lord stopped to speak with his vizier. As Valrick looked back to see Salazbaum round the corner, he turned to Kaelroth and asked quickly,
"So you plan to pay him for his information?"
The Lord looked in the same direction before lowering his gaze for a moment and saying with another sigh,
"I will not be paying the mage.
He has instead requested residency within the court, as my court wizard."
As a look of confusion shifted to one of anger on the vizier's face, the Lord looked the man in the eyes and said,
"We are in dark times, but I will not lose my lands to these cultists over a matter of pride."
Valrick looked again, puzzled and revolted by the Lord's statement, and said incredulously,
"You can't be serious. This is not a matter of pride. This is a matter of being taken for a fool and handing over the lands to a common charlatan. Forgive me, Lord, but this is a dangerous decision to be making, and it is not one you should make so hastily."
The Lord turned to his vizier and said solemnly,
"Schedule a meeting with Salazbaum to show him his quarters, and then escort him off the premises."
As the vizier considered his position, he knew better than to question any further than was expected of him. Valrick then bowed respectfully and went to fetch the trio. When Salazbaum and his companions were walking from the manor to the city streets that they had called home for the past few weeks, he began to smile, considering his good fortune. His smile slowly melted, however, as he continued to think about the odd looks he was given by the vizier. Was it the case that the vizier knew more than he was letting on? Was the vizier working with the ravenous maw as well? As the questions began to populate his mind, he considered the strange expressions the vizier, Valrick, had made when showing them the way out of the manor. He seemed to breathe rather infrequently, and he never seemed to blink much at all. Although he had had few words with the man, Salazbaum felt some strange sense that he had met the man before, somewhere, at some point in time. As he slowly pieced together the possibilities, it dawned on him that he indeed had met this man once before, though it would seem that Salazbaum had been himself, and the mysterious man had been someone altogether different. As Valrick watched the trio leave the grounds, he considered the likelihood that Salazbaum recognized him at all. Humans were never very good judges of such things, but this human was certainly different from the others. If he was as intelligent as his employer had described him to be, there may be complications in this scheme. How funny it seemed to Valrick that both he and Salazbaum were now serving the same new master, especially considering that they were serving the same master shortly before this as well. Chapter 22, Part 2. Day 61. Midday. Party status. The party status has not changed. As the group rode down the same woodland path that they had the day before, Kellum and Terry had explained that the Castellan had very little information to offer them, apart from rumors that the undead had been originating there, the place was of elvish design, and that goblins and orcs may unfortunately be the only ones who would know of the location of the halls of Shaladir. As the group considered this information, they thought back to the goblins they had slain the previous day on this very road. These goblins would not be likely to share information of any sort, and it would be a miracle that they could even communicate with them at all. As the men continue down the beautiful woodland path, I think it's time to roll for a random encounter. The chance of an encounter will be 1 in 3 on a d6. I got a 2. Looks like we have an encounter on our hands. I'll roll now to see what I get on my custom encounter tables for the Northern Bevern Wood. I got a 4, so wolves it is. I'll roll to see how many there are. There will be 1d4, and I got 3. Last, I will roll for surprise. I got a 2 for the wolves, and a 5 for the party. Surprisingly, the party managed to avoid the wolves' attention. The distance they will be from the party is roughly 300 feet. As the party continue on their way down the trail, following a snaking path which rises up around a hill, which rather abruptly rises from the lower lands where the river runs through. The steep drop-off to the river below is not so extreme that the party would not be able to traverse it, but it certainly would be a dangerous descent without proper precautions. As Belgen looked over the edge of the river below, he saw a trio of wolves lapping at the river's rushing waters. As he pointed and whispered to his companions, "Look, down there, wolves." The rest in attendance stopped for a moment, admiring the view and the serenity of the scene before them. These wolves seemed utterly oblivious to the party, and the party figured it best to keep it that way. As they turned again to continue on the path, Belgen took one last look at the wolves before they left his sight. A short while later, a pair of dwarves on horses came through the same path, following the party back to Solan Hill. As the party entered the Jester and Mace Tavern in Solan Hill, they are greeted warmly by Duella and some of the patrons, but they quickly grab a seat and begin to eat what little meal they can get this evening. Within the hour, the pair of dwarves enter the establishment as well. Though everyone seemed rather alert to their presence, the dwarves knew better than to cause any trouble, and so they simply approached the bar, ordered drinks, and gave kind gestures to anyone who looked their way. The suspicious patrons were clearly worried that these dwarves were looking into what had happened to the other dwarves from the other evening. Though after a few minutes of no trouble, the patrons went about their business. Unfortunately for the party, the dwarves were doing their best to listen intently to the details of their plans. As always, thank you for listening to Legends from the Fireside. If you liked what you heard, consider leaving a rating and a review. I love reading these reviews, and I'll share them on the show as I receive them. Feel free to reach out at Legends from the Fireside on X, or email me at legendsfromthefireside@gmail.com. I want to give a shout out to my good friend Anthony, who again lent his voice to the show as the Gatehouse Guard. If you have any desire to cross-promo or lend your voice to the show, shoot me an email or a DM, as I'm always on the lookout for collaborations. Come back soon to listen to more Legends from the Fireside.
Do you like your tabletop RPGs to be grim, gritty, and grounded? If so, then Legend of the Bones is the podcast for you. A hybrid of dark fantasy audio drama and old-school solo D&D. In Legend of the Bones, the dice rule. There'll be no rerolls, no fudging the dice, no metacurrency. The roll of the bones will determine the character's destiny, and no one will be spared their fate. None shall escape the destiny of bone.